We're going to be talking about this fall fishing, and it doesn't much feel like fall out there, Wayne, but let's talk about these patterns. We got Wayne Miller on the line, and we're talking about the Mobile Tensaw Delta. Wayne, how's the heat treating you?
Well, I'll tell you what, Joe, you know, it's October. It just doesn't feel like it. You know, the afternoons have really been pretty brutal, so... You know, the good news for the Delta, though, we're really starting to see on the lower end of the Delta along the causeway, starting to see those shrimp really pile up in there. So, you know, we're at the beginning of that, you know, transition where we start seeing a lot of shrimp move up in the Delta. And really the only thing we need now is just for it to cool off a little bit. As soon as this water temperature falls some, these fish will really, you know, start to pile up. And that's a piece of the puzzle that we hadn't, you know, we hadn't seen yet, is just the cooler temperatures, especially tonight, that'll drop that water temperature. Because once that happens, you know, most of the bass fishermen around here, they know, you know, these fish really start stacking up in the creeks that are adjacent to these bays. And when that happens, man, I mean, it's just game on. You can really catch pretty significant both numbers and quality of fish.
Wayne, when the water temps start to cool and those fish move into the creeks, are you looking for a specific water temperature, or are you just scouting those creeks and giving them a chance and seeing what's there?
Well, you know, once we see the shrimp, you know, in that water temperature, you know, it really doesn't have to cool off, but, you know, 5 to 10 degrees. And, but, you know, once it gets down in the, you know, in the 70s, it seems like the fish just really get on the fall feed heavy. So, you know, and just about all these creeks, you know, that are located adjacent to the bays down along the causeway, just tremendous numbers of fish pile up in there, and they basically just stay in those creeks all winter long. I mean, that's where they're going to be until spring, when it's time for them to spawn and they move back in the bay.
We talk a lot on here about fishing our area with a popping cork with a shrimp, or a, you know, popping cork with a shrimp imitation, and I know a lot of my inshore guys like to use that as a tool to scout for fish and find fish. Do you find the same thing for bass in the Delta, or do you have a go-to that you like to use to really prospect and cover some ground?
Well, you know, once we really start targeting these creeks, you know, and there's a lot of people that do utilize live bait and that fish, you know, DLAs and some of the other shrimp imitations under cork. But, you know, one of the best baits to really just cover a lot of water and to use to find fish is just that DOA, just a 3-inch DOA in either a gold glitter or the near clear, you know, because, you know, I laugh. I tell people, you know, I don't know of any creature that doesn't eat shrimp, and the same holds true for fish. And you know, so you really, you know, get a pretty good feel for what's in these creeks when you start throwing that DOA, because you'll catch obviously bass, you'll catch redfish, you know, the speckled trout. So you know, but a lot of times, you know, you'll see anglers utilizing spinner baits and crank baits. You know, the rattle traps work really well. Chrome blueback or chrome blackback quarter ounce rattle trap is a bait that a lot of fishermen use on the lower Delta as a search bait. Mm-hmm. in the fall. But, you know, I like throwing the DOA. I mean, it's just, you know, the time of year when I really utilize it quite a bit to you know, really target the bass.
Well, Captain Wayne, if folks want to book a trip with you up in the Delta and the Falls, an excellent time to do it. How can they get in touch with you?
They can reach me at 251-455-7404.
All right. Well, thanks for the report, and stay cool out there.
Okay. Take care, Jeff.
All right. Next, we're going to be talking to David Thornton, affectionately known as the Beer Pounder. David, how's it going this week?
Real good, Joe. How about you?
Oh, it's going pretty good. Kind of a rough week for me, I guess. I lost a pet this week. I'm a 14-year-old dog, but she had a good run, and we had some fun together. So
that sounds like the makings for a good country song.
It does.
Yeah, and we still went fishing. That's
well,
what
and,
matters.
And her name was Whiskey River, so it'll fit right in.
Great name, yeah.
But other than that, it's been good. I got to do a little fishing this past weekend. And that was fun. Did a little offshore fishing, had a good time out there. But I want to know what's going on down at the pier. I understand we had kind of not an unheard of catch, but a couple of rare catches this week. I saw that there was a snook caught, another snook caught in Mobile Bay. But what was more interesting to me was wasn't there a really nice permit caught?
Yes, yesterday at over in Perdido Key, there was a 10-pound permit caught, which is like, for listeners that don't know, imagine a 10-pound pompano. That's what this fish would fight like. And they're, like pompano, they're really good eating and all. But a guy caught it surf fishing just across the state line there in Florida. And it he said it ate a sand flea. You know, just bottom fishing, like could happen to anybody.
Yeah,
you know? And that was really exciting for the surf fishing community all along the North Gulf Coast. I mean, we've caught a small pompano in the past, maybe up to a few pounds. In fact, the Alabama state record is just over 3 pounds, and
wow,
that's pretty respectable.
Yeah,
but the idea that perhaps maybe some even larger ones are showing up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's that would be pretty good. That's one of my bucket list fish.
Well, as much time as you spend in the surf, I know you'll get your chance at some point. The it is a neat fish, and we don't get a ton of them around here. But that is one of the part of the allure of saltwater fishing is just that you really don't ever know what the day's going to bring, even if you've done it 1,000 times, you may catch something you've never seen before.
Absolutely. And that's what I tell folks, you know, especially the ones coming here for the first time to saltwater fish, that's so much of what keeps it alive for those of us who've been fortunate enough to grow up here and, you know, live that experience. And every day is just another unique gem to be relished and enjoyed and be grateful for.
What about the pier? What's the fishing like been like on the pier?
It's been holding pretty steady since last week. There were a few kings being caught and some of them actually being landed.
Yeah.
You know, when the mackerel show up, the sharks show up,
right,
at the state pier. But they've been catching some Spanish. Haven't really been on fire too much, but the small LYs, the young of the year LYs, are teaming up around the pier, and that's really fueling a good mackerel bite. Lots of bluefish, ladyfish mixed in, and they're even catching some been catching good numbers of slot redfish using the same baits, or perhaps even the baby hardtails. You know, just all these young fish that are around the pier,
mm-hmm,
the bigger game fish really come along to try and pick them off.
What about the Cedar Point Pier? I know the fall can be a really good time to target flounder there. Have you got a report for the Cedar Point Pier?
Yeah, all around. Flounder fishing, you know, the last few years has not been real well, but this year things do seem to be picking up a bit. And there, Cedar Point has been reporting some nice 3-pound flounder.
Yeah,
I've seen pictures of on their Facebook page. And some of the beaches have been showing up a few flounder. I know that our buddy Matthew Isabel has been picking up a few on his charters on the beach as well.
The fall's the time for sure. Let's talk specifically about flounder. We get a lot of questions about them. And you know, we talked a little bit about this before, about targeting those pier legs. And is there a key bait? I mean, obviously we know about bull minnows. Have you ever tried using any other type of finfish, something like small croaker or even a pinfish or anything like that, if you can't get a hold of bull minnows?
Yeah. Pinfish, baby pinfish usually catch more redfish than anything mm-hmm. else. If you wanted to target flounder specifically, try some finger mullet
mm-hmm.
or the baby elwise. They really do key off on those as
okay.
well. Just anything, you know, those bigger flounder, I've seen just about anything you can imagine in their stomachs over the years when you do manage to catch one. But an artificial version of that that's real effective is the gulp shrimp.
Yeah, something with a little scent behind it. All right, David, well, that's a good report, man. I'm glad to hear of some fish showing up and flounder biting and redfish are biting. It sounds like it's a good time to hit the surf. Hopefully we can get some cool temperatures to go along with it. Thanks for the report this week, and we'll talk to you soon, buddy.
All right.
All right, let's take a trip up to Pickwick Lake and the Bear Creek chain of lakes and talk with Captain Brad Whitehead. Brad, how's the smallmouth fishing going?
It is doing great. I believe we talked about it last week, about after the rain that we had got, they would turn on some water, and the fishing has begun. They have nonstop current since last week, and it is really, really turning the fish on. So several of my friends plus myself has had, you know, 25, 30-plus days of smallmouth and spots, a few largemouths. Of course, you're going to catch catfish. And you're also going to catch your boat weight in drum, but that's okay. As long as that rod's bouncing, seems like the guys and the ladies that's been fishing with me has really enjoyed it.
Brad, when you're live bait fishing up there, tell me specifically which hook you use, and also tell me how you hook those live baits.
It's really simple, and it's funny that you said that, because we had a little issue the other day in the boat. One of the guys kept having problem with his threadfin shad dying,
mm-hmm.
and I finally took a look at it, and I said, well, here's the reason. I use a small Eagle Claw bait hook. Most of the time, I use a number 4 split shot. Now, when you go to buy that split shot, don't get the ones that you can crimp on and off, because what that does, it'll put that minnow in a spin. You need one that is just a solid, you know, looks like a BB, that don't have any ears on it, that keeps everything straight in line with the current. So what he was doing was, I come up through the bottom lip and come out the nostril.
Mm-hmm.
What he was doing was actually coming between the fish's eyes, mm-hmm. and it was killing the bait.
Right.
So that's a great point. But we've had a great week. We're coming off a win. I'm going to have to give a little small shout-out here to the Muscle Shoals Trojan Bass Fishing Team. We had 92 boats in a District 1 tournament Saturday, and my son and his partner won it.
Well, good for them. Good for them.
We're still on cloud 9 on that with the kids.
Yeah, that's a stout field of competition.
Pretty awesome. Pretty awesome. Our crappie fishing's picking up down at the BCDA Lake. We've been on Little Bear, been on Cedar. The water temperature is about 81 degrees. We still need it to drop another 6 to 7 degrees to get a constant bite. But most of the guys are catching between 30 and 35 by lunch. So, That's going to only do nothing but get better in the next couple of weeks.
I know a lot of folks around the state are starting to see fish transitioning into fall patterns as the days are getting shorter, but everybody is waiting on a cool snap and those water temperatures to drop to really throw those fish into a frenzy as far as the bite goes.
Yes, and I feel like it's right around the corner. There is one thing I want to give the listeners a heads up. November 1st is a tentatively date that they'll start dropping the water at Little Bear, Cedar, and Bear Creek Lake. So don't let that throw you off if you go down after November and it's a foot low, 2 foot low. This has been going on since they were built. But just keep that in mind, the places that you run in the summer or maybe in the spring, just pay attention to the water level. So that also increased the bite, believe it or not. So you know, the bite will be good all the way up to about the second, third week of December.
All right, folks. Well, if you're looking for a trip on Pickwick Lake or the Bear Creek chain of lakes, y'all check out Brad Whitehead online. Brad, thanks for the report.
Hey, thank you. Talk to you soon.
All right, let's take a trip over to Lake Martin. We're talking with Captain Mike Walker. Captain, how's it been going on the lake here recently?
Pretty good, pretty good. Waiting for fall to finally show up.
Yeah, everybody is. That's the word around the state is you're starting to see some fish moving into a fall pattern, but dang it, the temperatures just hadn't dropped to really throw the bite on. Are y'all seeing some of the same thing on the lake?
Yeah, I mean, we've had some streaky periods where we've had good days and tougher days, so definitely are ready for the cooler weather. It'll as soon as it happens, our lake kind of already had a blast a couple weeks ago, so it's turned over and it's cleared up, but we need about 5 to 6 degree difference on the surface temperature for that bite to start swinging.
On stripers, as we move into fall and the patterns change a little bit, how do you change your fishing tactics?
I mean, right now we're really using a lot of deep water tactics. As we get into fall, we'll change over to fishing a lot shallower. Might be fishing over deep water, but we'll be fishing really high in the water draw.
Okay. And does the top water bite heat up in the fall?
It does. It does. Lake Martin has blueback herring there now, so like our top water is more sporadic than it is something that we can really count on.
How did the herring affect that?
They're deep. I mean, they're kind of depth tolerable bait. So where shad previous being the main bait fish, they generally are higher in the water column, so get more surface action, and just with the blueback herring being deeper, kind of fish don't have to come up. They can push them up if they want to, but if they do, it's just push them up, feed, and it's over.
Captain Mike, so. if somebody's out on Lake Martin and they're, you know, they're prospecting is what I like to call it. They're trying to find fish. What methods do you like to use to do that?
It really just depends on the time of year. I mean, if we're talking going into the fall, I mean, I would definitely, you're going to want to start checking everything from creek mouse points, drop offs, target from 50 feet or less. You know, look shallow, just really whatever you can until you find some kind of pattern.
Is there a particular live bait or artificial bait that you like to use to cover ground?
I mean, an Alabama rig in the fall really works good on Lake Martin if you'll downsize instead of getting hung up on using big swim baits or something. Downsize to like a 3-inch grub, something really small, because during that time in the fall, even though they will key on some larger bait, there's a ton of 1, 2, and 3-inch bait around, and that's probably what they'll be majorly feeding on this year.
Yeah. Well, we talk about that a lot and various different types of fish, but elephants eat peanuts, so it's not always that you have to fish with a giant bait to catch big fish.
Right. No, definitely not. In the wintertime, we're using miniature baits, 1 to 2 inches, and catching some of our biggest fish.
All right. Well, Captain Mike Walker up on Lake Martin specializes in striped bass and crappie fishing. How can folks get in touch with you up there if they want to get a trip booked?
They can check out our website at www.lakemartinstripers.com or give us a call at 205-362-8322.
All right. Thanks a lot. Good luck this week. Our next fishing report comes from a captain that I affectionately call the Marshal of the Mississippi Sound. But Captain Bobby Abrascato, I don't know that you've been in the Mississippi Sound all that much lately. What's been going on? Where are the fish?
Well, I've actually been pushing up the bay, and I'm probably going to step on Mike Thompson's toes a little bit. But I'm kind of been pushing up the bay, although I haven't been all the way up in the Delta except for one day so far. But it seems like you know, everything seems to be kind of pushing up the bay, JoJo. There's a lot of shrimp, you know, within sight of the interstate, you know, that part of the bay up. And, of course, there's a lot of fish right behind them or right with them. And did have a couple really good topwater trips in the last or topwater mornings, I should say, in the last, few days. And that's steadily been getting better, which tells me that it's kind of starting to maybe think about kind of getting folly a little bit, you know. But, you know, obviously we're standing out here right now at whatever time it is, 12:15 or 12:30, sweating, so it ain't still ain't fall, but the morning gives you that little bit of sense of it. But that kind of seems to be the deal for me.
You still on those birds?
Yeah, a little bit. The birds kind of dial you into the area, and we probably talked about this the other day. They kind of give you the idea of where you kind of need to be. They're diving on the shrimp that are being pushed to the surface, obviously, and kind of when you get in those areas, it isn't just you don't necessarily have to have the birds dive, and just as long as you're kind of in the right area or that area, you'll end up catching them. You know, they kind of put you on them.
You brought up a really good point about those birds over on the podcast, the Alabama Saltwater Fishing Report. And tell the folks when you're working those birds, explain to them how you approach that school of fish.
Yeah, what you want to do is, or what I make a big effort to do, is to come in from the upwind side of where you see the activity going on. And what that lets you do is, you can drift into them. The wind's going to help you blow into them rather than trying to run the big motor, even the trolling motor, into them. But the other thing is, you can make so much longer casts throwing downwind to the fish, which gives you the opportunity to locate the school. And if you're in shallow enough water, whatever you need to do, you can stop the boat in plenty of time before you actually get in on the school. So it does kind of gives you two big advantages. The thing is, and I mentioned the trolling motor, you know, you think you're being quiet with that trolling motor, but when you're fishing fish that don't have anything to relate to, except for bait, you start doing anything like cavitating a trolling motor or running a trolling motor too hard, you're going to move that school and you're going to have to start all over again. So, you know, the big thing is, short answer to your question is just come in from the upwind side and swing way wide of where the activity is. Don't try and run through the school and then try and drift back through it. It's not going to do it. You're going to kind of make a big loop around them and set your drift back into where the activity is going on.
Bobby, this time of year, Dixie Bar can be absolutely amazing in terms of bull reds stacking up on that bar out there. Have you been able to fish and do the Dixie Bar shuffle yet?
I haven't yet, and actually, to me, I like a good. I think we have to get a good cool snap. Now, there may be some out there. I haven't had a chance to do it, but usually I wait till it cools off a little bit more, and you catch a day like we had today, or a morning like we had this morning, where you got the full tide just starting to fall across that bar with the north wind, and man, like you said, it can just get. I mean, it's actually just world class. It's world class fishing that we have right at our back door. You know, when you catch it. You know, I think it's still probably going to be a few weeks away, maybe a month away before it really gets good. But that thing stays good all the way through June of next year. Usually the hot months is when those fish get offshore and start spawning. You know, and you may catch some schools out there right now, but it won't be real consistent until it starts cooling off. But anyway, it's still a little ways away. But I have clients that call and email and get in touch with me various different ways. And that's what they ask about. When we're going to be able to go to Dixie Bar? When we're going to be able to go to Dixie Bar? You know, because if you've done that, if you've ever done that before, man, that is an absolute blast.
All right, folks. A good report from Captain Bobby Abrascato. Y'all check him out at A-Team Fishing Adventures. Captain Bobby, good luck this week, and thanks for the report.
Okay, JoJo. Y'all have a good weekend.
All right, let's move on up to Miller's Ferry. We're talking with Joe Dunn. Joe, it's hot, man. What's are the fish changing into a fall pattern up there on the river?
Not quite yet, but it's getting close. Like I said, they're wanting to, but maybe if one of those cool fronts will come on, maybe it'll spur them on into it. But like I said, it's getting real close, real close.
We were talking yesterday with Captain Patrick Garmson. He's with Ugly Fishing down here in Mobile, and Patrick's been doing some work with the fish hatchery, and one of the things that he explained to me, and it was very interesting to me, and we talk a lot about the fall pattern, and that, you know, it doesn't feel like fall. The water temperatures really haven't dropped any appreciable amount, but these fish, especially on the saltwater side, we're starting to see them moving into these patterns. And what he explained to me was that the fish relate just like a deer does around when they rut. The fish relate to the length of day, and that a lot of times the length of day really determines the patterns that they have, but the water temperatures determine their feeding activity. What kind of water temperatures do y'all have up at Miller's Ferry right now?
Oh, it's still up in the 80s.
Yeah.
I mean, it's still way, way hot. But it's just like you said, Joe, that they're there now.
Mm-hmm.
But you may not pick up as many fish like you would once we have those cold fronts. And it's just like you're saying, once you get the cool weather to spur them into that, you know, feeding frenzy, you may pick up one or two in one top and then have to move to another one. And like, 'cause when I say a top, the top's like we're talking about bottom bouncing in,
mm-hmm.
right on the edge of the river channel, on the edge of the larger creek channels. And that's where they're there.
Mm-hmm.
It's just everybody's hollering, well, I ain't catching any, or I didn't catch but one or two. Well, they're there. It's just, you know, we're going to have to wait till that cool weather spurs them into the feeding frenzy where
right.
they really go to gorging up then later on.
Yeah. That's, I mean, it sounds like, you know, one of the things we try to do with this show is give a real fishing report, you know, and not sugarcoat it for everybody. And the reality of the situation is right now it's fishing spotty up there. It's going to require you to work for those fish. And
exactly.
It may be a good time for you to get some chores done and get some jobs taken care of so that when the fall fishing really heats up, you're there.
Yeah, go ahead and get your patches done right now. Go to working on them whenever it quits raining enough, which we finally getting in a little bit of a drier pattern than we had last week. You know, we had a lot of rain up here, and it's still hindering, you know, getting your patches planted. Plus, it's kind of hindering the fishing too a little bit.
Right. Well, I know if you got some sandier soils, your food plots probably look unbelievable right now. If you were able to get them in before a lot of that rain that we have, and for some of our guys that are, you know, there in the Black Belt, I imagine they're probably just still waiting to plant. But what about acorn production? Are folks seeing? You know, what's the mass crop looking like?
It's looking real good. I know we saw a lot of little smaller red oaks. Some of the white oaks has got a lot of acorns on them, too. I got one of those big swamp chestnut white oaks there in my yard over at the river, and, I mean, it's loaded up with them. For some reason, my sawtooth didn't do as good this year as they have in the, you know, it's just one of those off years for my trees anyway that I have in my food plots, but everything else is looking real good. A lot, like I said, a lot of little red oaks and a lot of white oaks this year.
Well, you know, for the health of the deer, I like to hear that, but for the sake of my hunting, I honestly don't like to hear that, because it seems like
exactly.
The years when they've got plenty of acorns, it's the hardest years to kill them, just because they got so many options of where to go. It's kind of hard for always been kind of hard for me to key in on it.
Well, your early bow hunters, they're definitely going to – there's no need of sitting in no patches. You're going to have to go out and hunt those trees. You got to go find you one that's dropping acorns, and that's where your luck's going to be at.
Yeah, I found best success I've had on years like this, if I know where a lot of acorn trees are, I will – even if I have a favorite stand, a lot of times what I'll do is just put a stand on my back and walk through the woods, and when I start finding acorns, I'll wait until I find fresh – you know, fresh droppings. And when I find fresh droppings, just hang my stand in the closest tree I can find. And because I know there's been deer there recently. And I've had my best success on years just doing that. And I think also it just keeps your scent out of the woods. You know, you're there. You've only just been there. That's always been my tactic for that. Well, what about we're about to take a break, Joe. I appreciate the report. If folks want to get in touch with you, how can they do it?
Yeah, just call us here at Dunn Sports, 334-636-0850.
All right. Y'all go check Joe out. Thanks, Joe. We'll talk to you soon.